This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
You just want to grab a cup of coffee with and hear his story, hear what God has done through him in the ministry. If you don't know Waypoint Church Partners, they are an organization that is geared to church planting and church support in those planting and growing of ministries. And so they have all kinds of resources, all kinds of connections, all kinds of ways that they can help churches like Bridges along the path in doing ministry in a local community. So with that being said, please welcome Dyke McCord. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, Bridges Church. That was really good. Back in the day when I was lead pastor, if I didn't get a good response, I would make you do it again, so... well done. I have a jump rope. Haven't used it for a while, but that is a good workout, which is why it hasn't been used for a little while. Hey, I'm all in. Maybe I'll try it out. Get back in that. I'm all in with what y'all are doing, and I have already purchased. My bottle of barbecue sauce. So I'm in on that. I'll give my ratings, my review there to let you know, because I'm a pretty harsh judge of barbecue sauce. But it already sounds good because it's tomato based. So I'm already down with that. You guys had Robin Zimmerman last week, right? So how'd he do? Just okay? Just all right? Just I know Robin really well, a good friend. So I just want to be able, like the next time I see him, I just want to be able to say, yeah, they said you did okay. I just want to be able to say that. I served in youth ministry for 10 years in Canton, Ohio, and then 18 and a half years was the lead pastor at the Church of Christ in Manor Woods in Rockville, Maryland, and outside of D.C., and Robin was my youth minister for 4 years. So Robin and I go way back, and I will look forward to giving him a hard time. Yeah, it was just okay. It really is an honor to be with you all today. I've met a number of you before, even did a Zoom leadership devotion for the leadership team here. That was kind of earlier on in the pandemic, and I consider Patrick a really good friend and a really good hiking buddy. He is a gifted communicator and really has such a great kingdom heart. So we are grateful for his and your partnership with Waypoint and the ministry impact that you have, the vision beyond just the walls here. Waypoint works with a lot of pastors, and we are acutely aware that ministry is hard, but it has never been harder than anything we've seen the last couple of years. And so thank you for your support of him, encouraging he and Stacy and their family, and I agree wholeheartedly with what you're doing right now, providing him with some time away, and I trust that will be mutually beneficial and filled with many blessings. On the church plant front, there's good news. I'd love to pass along good news. Between the two most recent North Carolina plants, for the past 2.5 years, I've served as I've joined the Waypoint staff, served as the assistant director, and worked mostly in the Carolinas. So just North Carolina first. Last two most recent church plants in North Carolina, one launched January last year, one in September. They are already combining for over 250 in attendance and are averaging 3 baptisms a month, which is so exciting. Our most recent church plant launched 4 months ago in Virginia Beach, and they're averaging just shy of 100 in attendance and have celebrated a baptism nearly every single week since they started. And I just find that encouraging to hear reports about what God is doing and what he's up to throughout partnerships that we have with churches like Bridges. So keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep supporting and serving here and abroad. What I find most encouraging, though, to me, is just being together as the church, right? Just being together. I need this time with the church family. The Lord designed us to be together. Sometimes I know that we have a number of ways that we like to get together. Sometimes it's an excuse to get together for fellowship events or picnics or pool parties or barbecues or making waves, you know, VBS or even jump roping. You know, all sorts of opportunities just to get together. A few weeks ago, one of our church plants just east of Raleigh held a men's ministry event on a Sunday afternoon, and I was asked to come share the devotion for that. And that event was held in a large backyard of one of the church members where all of the men got to do some target shooting, real bullets, with pistols and rifles. Now, that's not an opportunity that I get very often, and so it was kind of fun, and of course, every precaution for safety was taken. But someone had given the church planter a used rifle, and it hadn't been shot for a little while. And so whenever it was his turn, this is what he'd do. He'd set up, and he'd take a shot, and he'd put his gun down, and he'd walk around, and he would see where he hit on the target to see how close he was to the bullseye. And then he would go back and adjust his sights. He had to recalibrate in order to set his sights and hit the target. Now, I think that happens in life as well. Sometimes our sights get off and we get off target. I think I have felt that way a number of times the last couple of years. And then there's the war in Ukraine and then all the stuff related to politics and the January 6th hearings and all the violence and shootings and gender identity issues and concerns over monkeypox and the economy and gas prices and the inflation and on it goes. And sometimes all those things throw me off kilter and I need to recalibrate and make sure that my life is on target. We know the Bible tells us that we have all those sorts of things in our world due to sin and pridefulness, but I still need reminders to recalibrate and be sure my sights are set on Jesus. When I start to worry about the things of this world, when I get distracted by all the worries of this world, when I get caught up in the ways of this world, it can cause all sorts of stress and anxiety. Which is why recalibration, setting our sights, refocusing on Jesus, is so important. Because Jesus speaks into those very stressful situations. And he speaks into our circumstances. And this is what he says. He says, "Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." His peace. So even though it feels to me like there are a lot of things that disrupt peace in our world today and in my life, the Bible reminds us that we can have peace in spite of all our concerns. Now, when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it was just before he ascended into heaven, part of a final message to his believers, his followers. And when he said those words, he must have really wanted to emphasize it because when it was translated, they included an exclamation point, okay? Jesus really wants you to know you can have his peace with you. And in just a moment, we're going to see that Jesus puts even more emphasis on that phrase. But first, you need to know, when Jesus spoke these words of peace, the followers of Jesus, they were stressed out, they were worried, and they were anxious. Now, why were they stressed out, worried, and anxious? I'm so glad you asked. They were stressed out, worried, and anxious because it felt like everything in their world was changing so rapidly. It felt like everything in their world was out of control. And they felt like their future was uncertain. Now, there's a lot there we can relate to, right? Anyone else feel like there's a lot of transition going on, like a lot of things are out of our control, like there's an uncertainty to our future? When his followers felt that way, Jesus spoke into their circumstances so that they would know not only peace, but they would have it in their lives. Jesus spoke peace into their lives in spite of their circumstances. And then when his followers were right in the middle of dealing with significant change and things out of their control and an uncertain future, Jesus does, I think, one of the most audacious things. He repeats himself. Now think about that for just a second. Why on earth would Jesus, of all people, need to repeat himself? The first time he emphasized peace, we find that in John 20, 19, and then he repeats himself, emphasizing peace even more with an exclamation point. That's the second time that we read a moment ago from John 20, 21, where the Bible says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you, what the Bible calls a peace that passes human understanding, a kind of peace the world cannot offer. And I can only imagine why he might have repeated himself. The followers of Jesus were nervous and anxious and worried and fretting and concerned because at that time in history, and I want you to try to relate to this, okay? At that time in history, it was a time of political division, which I know might be hard for some of us to imagine since our country is so unified. But also at that time in history, there was a widespread disease that really had people concerned. We have trouble relating to that too as well, don't we? And don't even get me started about the incredible racial divide that was taking place at that time. There was racism that sometimes even led to violence. And then, you're not going to believe this, but when Jesus emphasized peace to his followers, there was a threat of war between two neighboring countries. Can you imagine that? I know that's also hard to fathom. And so in the midst of uncertainty and worry and anxiety and disease and racism and political turmoil and the threat of war, Jesus speaks peace. And I think maybe it was into those circumstances that the followers of Jesus, here's what I think. I think they needed to hear him repeat himself. And I wonder if we don't all need that reminder to recalibrate, to set our sights and really focus on Jesus, the one who is in control and the one who does offer real and lasting peace. Now, I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes I try to put myself in the Bible story. And so I wondered if his followers, when they heard this message of peace, were like, that's a great idea, Jesus. I really do wish we could have that kind of peace, but have you looked around? I mean, peace is really hard to come by these days. And on top of everything else, what about my financial problems, and what about my family struggles, and what about my job and future security, and what if the economy keeps on like this, and what if a new sickness spreads, and what if the division grows, and what if things don't improve? Those would have been perfectly legitimate questions. Maybe Jesus understood that, and so he repeats himself with emphasis for their sake. Hey, I get it, but do you get it? You can have my peace, real, lasting peace, and you can have it with you no matter what else is going on around you. His promise of peace applies as much today as when he first spoke it. And fortunately for us, the Bible tells us exactly how we can have that kind of peace in our lives today. I want you to listen to this from Colossians chapter 3. And it's all about setting your sights. It's all about recalibrating everything in your life lined up on Jesus. This is Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds in the Greek is actually a single word, phroneo, meaning the faculty of perceiving. We're to set our sights, we're to perceive the heavenly things. Our lives are to be calibrated on heaven. Do you have a heavenly perspective? If you've been distracted by worldly things, is it time to reset your sights? Is it time to focus on the heavenly things? Is it time to refocus on what matters most? Your thoughts always lead the way. That's always true. What you think about matters. What you listen to and watch and read and absorb. Where you spend your time on the internet and social media. Who you spend your time with. Who you listen to. Who you associate with. It all matters. Our perspective is influenced by what we set our minds on. Are you focusing on good things and godly things and heavenly things and eternal matters? The Bible says to think on whatever is true and noble and right and pure and admirable and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. So what happens when we set our minds on the things of this world? It can cause stress and anxiety and worry and depression and discouragement. But when we set our minds on things above, we find peace. And that's why the Bible says things like, do not set your minds on things that make you angry or cause you to lust after the things of this world. Do not set your minds on the things that lead to greed and pride and selfishness. Do not set your mind on envy or deceit or gluttony or bitterness. Those things destroy peace. The key to peace in your life is to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Are your sights set on peace? Being a person of peace, living out peace, receiving God's peace. Are you perceiving heavenly things? You have peace when you set your minds on things above. Here's one way to look at it. Now, this is something that I've found helpful. And you can do this right now with me. Mentally, just kind of draw a line across the front of the room here, okay? Right in the middle. And you can imagine above, okay, is heavenly thinking, and below the line is worldly thinking, okay? Now, I've got a list of things here, and I'll share these with you, and then you tell me which of these things on this list belongs above the line and what belongs below the line, okay? So this is audience participation. Did Robin do audience participation? Yeah, he probably didn't. All right, so audience participation. Which of the following is above thinking and which is earthly below thinking, okay? You got this? Here we go. First one, hating someone, below. All right. Holding a grudge, below. All right. I'm not trying to trick you. Forgiving someone, above. Being generous, above. Pridefulness, below. Love, joy, excellence. All right. Tough one. Materialism. All right. Greed. Anger, slamming on the horn when somebody cuts you off in traffic. It's a gray area. You see, Christians have discovered for hundreds of years the key to tapping into peace is all about where their thoughts go. When you obey God's word and you are setting your mind on things above, you have a heavenly perspective, and that brings peace. Peace comes when your perspective is above the line. So then what happens when you set your mind on earthly things, below thinking? Peace is diminished. Worldly thinking keeps peace out of your reach. When my thoughts are focused on self-centeredness, when I envy, when I'm prideful, when I hold a grudge, I am losing peace. When I'm distracted by the world, I take my eyes off of Jesus, and I need to reset my sights again. I need to recalibrate. So here are just a few ways that we can do this, that we can recalibrate. If you want to tap into more peace, let me give you three ways, three areas every single one of us can recalibrate. You can have a heavenly perspective first when you set your sights on God's promises. Setting your sights, meditating, taking time, spending time in God's word. What you spend your time thinking about really matters. Spending time on God's truth adds peace. When you spend too much time on the news and entertainment and work concerns and social media, where do you think that's going to take your mind? But when you set your mind on God's word, it takes you to a place of peace. Preacher, friend of mine from South Carolina, Tim Brokaw, no relation to Tom, Tim Brokaw wrote a book last year entitled Lessons from Quarantine, Biblical Principles for Living in Tough Times. And in it he wrote, when discouraged or overwhelmed, we can seek out comfort, peace, in destructive ways. The use of alcohol and other drugs, including opioids, meth, and cocaine, all saw a surge in use during the pandemic. And then, of course, he had to go and add that someone said that the 19 in COVID-19 stands for the 19 pounds we each gained and why we need to jump more rope together. So when you set your mind on things above, God promises his peace. Do you know what people did not gain through the use of alcohol, drugs, and overindulgence? They didn't gain peace. Those things drained peace from their lives. Stanford psychology professor Carol Dweck distinguishes between what she calls a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And I love those terms, a growth mindset and a fixed mindset, which to me just sounds an awful lot like heavenly thinking, above thinking, and earthly thinking, worldly thinking. No matter what you're going through, you get to decide what you think about. Will you grow or will you get stuck? You get stuck in earthly thinking when you give in to anger, because that is an ugly fixed mindset. Holding a grudge is stuck thinking, not a growth mindset. Love, on the other hand, leads to growth. Forgiveness allows you to become unstuck. Some of the most stuck people on the planet are those who refuse to show forgiveness. I'll never forget the Sunday I preached a whole sermon just on forgiveness. And I remember thinking, how can I get really practical with this? And I wasn't too sure about one thing that I was going to say, but right at the end of the sermon, I said, if there's someone that you haven't forgiven and you're holding on to that, call them. Call them today and you tell them, I forgive you. Now that, to me, seemed to be a fairly reasonable request. But a young lady in our church was quite upset with me. After the service was over, she came up to me and she said, how dare you tell me what to do? You do not know how badly my father hurt me. You don't know how much he does not deserve my forgiveness. And she stormed out of church. I was like, wow, did I cross a line here? But honestly, I cannot remember a more rapid transformation in someone's life. The following Sunday, when she came back to church, she came up to me all excited, and she said, I did it. I did it. And suddenly I was talking to a brand new person. You could see the anger and the bitterness had melted away, replaced by joy and happiness. She said, I called him and I told him, I forgive you. And he cried and I cried, and we've got a long way to go, but I want you to know I've never felt this way before. I am free. Listen, whatever it is, if your sights aren't set on heavenly thinking, your perspective won't be one of peace. Peace will remain out of reach. But when you set your mind on God's promises, that's a growth mindset that brings freedom and peace. Second way to recalibrate is to set your mind on grateful prayers. Now, I noticed during that Target practice session that each time that church planter walked back from the Target to check his sights, he was making slight adjustments, just slight adjustments to those sights, just little adjustments. Don't underestimate the power of little adjustments in your life. Adding more gratitude brings more peace. Psychologists and theologians agree gratitude changes your mindset. It changes your perspective. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Stop focusing on the things that cause anxiety. Instead, recalibrate, make those little adjustments that lead to prayers of greater gratitude. Grateful prayers lead to greater peace. Prayer taps into God's peace, and that can influence everything in your life. Anxiety, depression, discouragement. Now, this isn't just pray and it'll make everything better, or pray and your life will be anxiety-free. It's actually a command. In everything, pray. God says you can lift up every situation, every concern, every issue, every problem person, every worry to him. And when you pray with gratitude, you're setting your sights on heavenly thinking. Have an attitude of gratitude. And if you aren't feeling it, here's my suggestion. Keep praying. Keep finding things to express gratitude over. Keep thanking God until your heart is softened and your mindset is gratitude. Grateful prayer adds peace to your life. Grateful prayer reminds you how blessed you are. Grateful prayer helps you focus on what matters most. And by the way, that is so attractive to our world. So many people in our world have set their sights on worldly thinking that when they come into contact with those of us filled with peace, it is a draw. It's attractive. What do you have that I don't? When you demonstrate a sense of peace, everyone in our world wants that. Don't you want the people around you to have that same kind of peace? I know I do. And that leads us right into a third way to recalibrate for more peace in our lives. Set your mind on your purpose. You have more peace when you are fulfilling your purpose. Set your mind on your purpose. We're all called to love God and to love others as ourselves. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Don't you want more and more people to know the love of God and the peace of Christ? Will you pray for more and more workers to share that peace with others? Set your mind on your God-given purpose on this planet to serve others and invite more and more people to know Jesus, to experience God's peace in their life. Set your mind on the harvest field. In his book, The Unchurched Next Door, Dr. Tom Rainer said 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. Big survey that he did. 82% said they were at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. Most people come to church because of a personal invitation. And 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church in their whole lives. Talk to a neighbor, talk to a coworker, talk to a friend or family member and say, would you like to come to church with me sometime? Would you like to grab coffee or lunch sometime? You see, there's peace in fulfilling your purpose. God invites you to live your life on purpose. When you fulfill your purpose, it brings peace. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And then he said it again, "Peace be with you." And then after that, do you know what he did? He repeats it a third time to his followers. Just a week later, perhaps you and I need to hear it again as well. This is from John chapter 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then Thomas, he says to him, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." When you have Jesus, peace is your perspective. Stop doubting and believe. Peace is yours when you believe and set your mind on heavenly things. When the church sets its sights on heavenly things, you are a force for good in this community. You make a difference in this world. It makes a difference in your home as you bring peace. This church makes a difference when you pray for more workers in the harvest field. You make a difference when you fulfill your God-given purpose. The world keeps throwing an awful lot at us, so we've got to set our sights. Amen? Make the adjustments. Recalibrate to a heavenly perspective. When you set your mind on things above, you'll have peace that passes human understanding, a peace you can live out and pass along. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we believe. Father, we trust you. And you know everything that's going on in our lives. You know everything going on around us. It's a lot. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. God, we pray that you help us maintain your perspective, a heavenly perspective. Help us, God, to know your peace, to have your peace, to live out your peace, that others might know it too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.